Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Welcome to the Property Exchange podcast, this time the London lettings market. What's really going on as rumours swirl of more tax changes? In this episode, we're taking a close look at the lettings market after a summer of leaks about new taxes that could hit landlords as the Renters' Rights Bill looms. The rumours that have emerged in recent weeks include the imposition of national insurance on landlords' rental income. The government is looking for every which way to plug the hole in the nation's finance ahead of the budget on November the 26th. Is this threat of yet another tax making landlords consider leaving the business? Or is the demand for rented accommodation ensuring that they can make the sums work? We'll also be exploring what's happening to rents in London, the level of stock available, the locations now proving popular with tenants, and the outlook for the rest of the year. With me to provide a snapshot of what's happening now are Charles Irwin of Winkworth, Lucinda Richardson from Winkworth Notting Hill, and Rupal Patel of Winkworth Shepherd's Bush and Brook Green. Welcome to you all, but first to Charles. From your perspective, what's the big picture in the London lettings market at the moment?
Thanks, Anne. So Winkworth have done quite a lot of research into this recently, and there seems to be now London is officially a majority renter city, with 53% of households now letting, which is an interesting shift. There seems to have been a generational shift in terms of the renter. So over the average renter today is around 40, up from 30 a decade ago. We've seen an increase in corporate rents, up 8% year on year, and an increase in American renters, generally dominating the corporate rental market. So there has been a shift in dynamics and age as well.
So renters are getting older. That's a lifestyle shift. London is dependent on the private rented sector as a place to live. But also, Americans are coming over here. Are these people what they call the Donald Dodgers, people who don't like the atmosphere in America now?
I think there's an element of that. I think that's probably been slightly overblown. What we've seen, certainly across prime central London, is a lot of younger generation Americans have moved across for jobs, and then they've ended up staying here. And what we've noticed is their parents have come in to rent to be close to grandchildren and their own children. So that's been the sort of shift in. It's not necessarily a Donald Trump phenomenon, although that does have a slight element to it, but it's also family reasons as well.
Now, over the past few years, we've seen rents go up far more sharply than house prices in London. Are tenants' budgets stretched, or are they prepared to pay whatever it takes to get the right place?
So interestingly, renters in London now spend an average of 41 to 42% of their gross income on rent, compared to 36% nationally, which is obviously a huge chunk of people's take-home to spend on their accommodation. The average London rent is now between £2,200 per month, and that's up 40% since 2020.
Just listen to that statistic, 40% up since 2020. Wow.
Yeah. So obviously affordability is playing a huge part in it. But I also think there's an element that people are waiting longer to buy. So putting off maybe a search, saving up a deposit in order to buy something larger, renting for longer, and maybe buying something that they couldn't have afforded 5 years ago.
So people are watching and waiting for prices to maybe weaken, and then they can seize their forever home. Is that what's happening?
That's it, or it's just making, with stamp duty being the where it is, I think there's an element of people not wanting to move so many times. So whereas, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people might have moved every 2-3 years and sold, and the property would have appreciated in value. In prime central London, where we're not seeing massive capital appreciation at the moment, if any, people are putting off the moves because the transaction costs are so high. So they rent for longer and then make sure that move is a sort of forever home.
We're talking about the weakness of prime central London property prices. Isn't that an opportunity, if you're a landlord, to buy something now at a lower price than it would have been, say, a decade ago, rent it out for a while and then move into it at some point in the future?
Sadly, we're not seeing a massive increase in landlords buying in prime central London. I think there's an element of increase in taxes. So buying a second home, there's already a 5% tax across the top, stamp duty across the top on that, which is prohibitive. The yields are far greater outside of London. You get much better yields in Manchester, Newcastle and the Northeast. So I think that, coupled with changes in legislation such as the renters reform and the potential for 8% national insurance on rental income, has put landlords off buying. And so I think that buy-to-let market is certainly on the decrease rather than increase.
When your landlords talk to you, are the rumours about the tax at the forefront of their minds?
Absolutely. I think a lot of landlords across London bought maybe 20, 30 years ago, and this is their pension pot, and they've sort of reached their expiry, and all of these changes aren't conducive to good yields, and they'd rather take the money out and invest it elsewhere where they get better yields.
Let's talk briefly about the Renters' Rights Bill. Is that having an effect?
It's certainly looming large, and I think that people are really focusing on what type of tenant they might have or what they actually, whether they want to rent in the long term.
So the impact of all of this could be in further cut in the supply of rental homes in London?
I think so, and that's certainly the case at the moment. A lot of landlords are selling up across all of prime central London, and I imagine across all of London as well, as they just shift their focus to areas with less tax and less issues, I suppose, that are coming down the line.
Before we turn to Lucinda to talk about Notting Hill, gorgeous, chic place, let's have another statistic. 5 million households in this country rely on the private rented sector. It's a very, very important tenure and one the government should really think twice about tinkering with. Now to you, Lucinda. Gorgeous Notting Hill with its lovely pastel houses and its beautiful shops and restaurants. How much would it cost to rent there, say, if that were my dream?
Well, the perfect street in Notting Hill, if you were thinking about a two-bedroom, it would probably be anything from about £800 a week up to about £2,500 a week. They can range, you know, obviously the range is huge.
So the best street would be what? Are there several?
I always think, I mean, there's so many gorgeous streets in Notting Hill, but I think as the area is so well known for the gardens and for the flats which overlook the gardens, and particularly if they have direct access, they are so sought after. And it's amazing how we've seen, you know, the demand for them. And like with so many, as we were saying earlier, just the shortage now of, you know, with the landlords, you know, who are still happy to be landlords.
So actually, in Notting Hill, you walk through a lot of these places to get to your offices in Westbourne Grove, don't you?
Yes, we do.
It's a great walk to work.
It's a lovely walk.
Now, we think of Notting Hill as being the place where the stars rent, where the private equity guys rent. What's the most extravagant demand you ever had from a prospective tenant?
I was thinking about that earlier because you think there's been so many, but when you're actually asked and want the most extravagant, I think sometimes the high-end short lets, you can really, really get the demands in. But I think probably we've had a grumble about, you know, the thread count of bed linen, which I always kind of always slightly surprised us that was really an issue, but it was an issue apparently.
So people can't sleep in a bed with sheets under an 800 thread count?
No, even John Lewis' finest, no.
Well, I think that's given us all something to think about, hasn't it? We know about the stars. We know about the private equity guys. Are there people who are long-term renters in Notting Hill?
Yes, and that's actually kind of what Charles was saying as well. I think with Notting Hill, what's lovely about it, and that's why it's one of the things I love the most about the area and the clients we're lucky enough to work with is that you get the generations. We literally have worked with kind of the grandparents, then the children, to now the grandchildren, and all of them staying. And like Charles was saying as well, with people coming over from America, just a lot of people, families wanting to be closer, hands-on grannies effectively as well. You know, it's so important now, I think, with just the support, particularly working mothers and things like that as well. It's just the need for families to be close by. So we're seeing lovely long-term clients who are now we're looking after the second and third generations, which is great. Makes me realise how old I am as well. But
so it's a place you can check out, but you can never leave, except perhaps if you're a landlord. Are your landlord clients considering their position now?
Yes, I think following on from what Charles was just saying, we're seeing exactly that. I think particularly, you know, having passed on the spring market, where is a natural time to consider selling, any tenancies which were naturally coming to an end in spring. You know, so many of our landlords, pretty much, I think all the landlords we speak to, they want to kind of reassess their portfolios and they just want updated valuations. And I think, you know, sadly, particularly, again, as Charles was saying earlier, the slightly older clients, where they, you know, these have been clients who we've been looking after for 25 odd years, and they're just getting to the point where I think both financially and also on the liability side, you know, from the renter's rights, the unknown of what the detail is really going to look like. Entering into a new tenancy, we really have to be careful to try and, you know, look forward to where we could be in a year's time with a tenant in place. And also then now on top of this all, there's now the licensing, which is coming in across a lot of boroughs. And that's huge as well. There's a lot of changes ahead for people. And so it's just trying to keep up with all these changes.
There was some research out this month from Rightmove saying that more than two-thirds of landlords felt unsupported by the government. Do you think that's how your landlords are feeling, that the government is against them?
Absolutely. Whilst we totally appreciate a lot of these changes are very good in terms of, let's say, against rogue landlords, you know, making sure everything is compliant, all of that side is fantastic and supported. But for landlords, it just feels like there's nothing, you know, there's no incentives for them to be a landlord. You know, that they're not encouraging people wanting to buy. We talk about the buy-to-let market. We just don't see that anymore, you know, because people are almost just saying, why, what's the point of being a landlord? It is getting, you know, and I think the concern as well about the liability, the fines, constant, almost negativity about, you know, so I think landlords definitely feel unsupported.
That's a very, very interesting response. Rupal, we're going to move a little further west, about a mile and a half from Westbourne Grove, where Winkworth Notting Hill is. To which road are you in Shepherd's Bush?
We're on Uxbridge Road in Shepherd's Bush.
Which, for those who don't know, that great borough, Shebu, as it's called, is about 10 minutes walk from the Westfield Shopping Centre.
Correct, yeah. It's about 10 to 7 minutes walk.
And very close to very good tube stations. Now, that's the reason why people go to Shepherd's Bush. It's also got a great vibe. Who's your demand coming from currently?
So I'd say the demand at the moment, it's a wide range of clientele. So we've got young professionals who want to move there because it is an affordable borough, which tallies up with council tax being on the affordable side. You've got families moving to the area as well, who are sort of priced out of Notting Hill, priced out of Fulham, moving along from Chiswick into the area as well. As well as we've got some fantastic schools to mention, St. Stephen's School, which is a huge draw to the area. Many, many parents want to get their children into the school, and that's one of the big pulls into the area.
Now, what's the cost of renting in Shepherd's Bush? First, a house, say.
So a house on one of the prime roads in Shepherd's Bush would cost anything in the region of around £5,500 to £6,000 a month. Having said that, we are in the prime time of the market at the moment, and we've just recently taken on a property 2 months ago at around £6,000 a month, and that actually ended up renting at £6,900 a month.
That goes to show that rental supply is shrinking.
Correct. It was a family house, 5 bedrooms. We had 4 people offering on the property within the week.
So does this mean your landlords are quitting? What's happening?
So it's an interesting one. I'd like to sort of put landlords into 2 sections. We have accidental landlords or landlords that have got small portfolios, anything from 1 to 5 properties. We've noticed about 15% of them are actually trying the sales market before putting their property back onto the rental market. However, you know, a lot of these landlords are accidental landlords who potentially were landlords anything between 3 to 7 years ago. And they've noticed that house prices haven't gone up. And that's a hard pill to swallow, to try and put your property back on the market and not had made any money on that. Therefore, they're coming back onto the rental market and then just having to say, OK, if we're losing a couple of £100 a month, even after all the taxation, they'll live with it for next 2, maybe 5 years, and then potentially hope the property prices will catch up.
When somebody comes to you wanting to rent, are you having to do a lot more checks?
Correct. Landlords now know that, you know, in the future, historically, you had a relationship between a landlord and a tenant that was 12 months, 18 months. Landlords also now know that potentially this could be 2, 3 years plus. So tenants are having to, in a sense, write a CV about themselves. We've even got tenants submitting photos as evidence to show that they're good people to landlords.
So the relationship is almost like a marriage.
Correct. It is no longer medium to short term. It is a long term relationship.
Rupal, you're having a lot of conversations about these rumoured tax changes with the clients.
Correct. Yeah. A lot of our landlords are calculating that they are actually, even with these great rises, are now making losses on properties, but are willing to take that small loss every month to hope for a bigger gain in the future.
What is the tax that they most fear?
I think the biggest tax was when you couldn't write off your mortgage payment against your income. Mm-hmm. I think that was a big, big pull to all landlords.
And applying national insurance to rental income would be another blow, wouldn't it?
Correct, 8%. You know, that's a huge, huge number.
That the same amongst your clients?
I agree. You know, the offsetting, not being able to, you know, offset more things against, you know, that's been a real factor.
So we've seen the landlord sector hit by successive tax rises and more could be yet to come. Well, thank you for this great tour of West London and what it's like to rent there. There are some gorgeous parks, gorgeous places and great transport. But before we go, I've got a question for all of you. And I'm going to start with Charles, which is, what's the best thing about renting and what's the worst?
I suppose the best thing is it's almost like a try before you buy if you are buying. So if you're new to an area, renting allows you to feel out where you might want to be, the specific roads, maybe the specific buildings. And then you get a feel before you maybe dive in and buy something if that's what you want to do. The worst thing, I guess it's the unknown. You never know, you know, until you start renting, you never know what your landlord is going to be like. If there's a problem, are they going to fix it in time? Are they, you know, are they going to move back in? So I suppose there's always an element of the unknown.
But that element of the unknown sort of adds to the excitement, doesn't it?
Well, I guess not if you've got 2 kids and but maybe for the hedgy in Notting Hill, it adds to the excitement. But
yeah.
I think people want consistency and just to know that their problems, that they're going to be listened to.
Lucinda, what's the best? What's the worst?
I think the best thing, following on from what Charles just said, for all of those reasons, I think in times like this, when there's times of change, that flexibility which renting gives you, you know, because there's just so many unknowns around the corner. And because of recent changes, so many people, sadly, are leaving London as well. And they just, you know, so many people are just chapter changes of life, but it's just that flexibility. But we're really seeing it more than ever, where through all the changes which have been brought on for tenants and landlords, people are really kind of working out where they want to be now. Schooling, you know, just as I was saying, it's a huge factor now of, you know, private, state schools, you know, all these changes. But again, so I think the flexibility which lettings offers you, and exactly as Charles said, people love trying the area, particularly an area like Notting Hill, where it's literally street by street. Someone would like that street, but not want the street next door. So it's, you know, it's really interesting. And then the worst bit, again, similar, it's just that it's really difficult having to tell people they've got to move. Not just the families, people where it's been their homes for a long time. And what we're finding is because with all these changes, we're having to have that conversation a lot with people because landlords feel this could be the last opportunity to effectively be in control of their tenancy. So with that, we're having to give a lot of tenants notice already. And it's expensive to move, it's unsettling, and it's time. People's time is so precious. It takes a long time to move, to sort out the utilities, which drive us all crazy. And so, yeah, so I'd say that's the worst bit.
Thank you for that, Rupal.
Well, following on from Charles and Lucinda, you know, the flexibility is great. I think another great advantage is actually you get to rent a property that you potentially may not have purchased because, you know, saving for the deposit, paying the stamp duty, you know, very, very expensive costs. So, you know, you may be able to afford it on a monthly basis, but the deposit you wouldn't have. So actually renting a property that you may not ever be able to afford to buy after going through all the costs. So that's a great part of renting. And also knowing that if the washing machine's going to leak or something needs replacing, you could pick up the phone, call the agent, it would be sorted, which is a great part of renting. I'd say moving on to the worst part is tenants have always said this to me, you know, we are paying the landlord's mortgage ultimately. You know, they're paying the mortgage for a landlord to own that property.
Thank you for that. So many insights, so much knowledge. Thank you so much, Charles, Lucinda and Rupal. Thank you for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. And do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast.
This has been The Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.